We're here coming to you from the Comedy Store. This is another episode of Allegedly.
Hi, I'm Matthew Cole Weiss.
And I'm Theo Vaughn. And
today we have Jonathan Tucker with us.
Yeah, thank you for joining us, man.
In person.
Dude, not only a longtime friend of mine, but one of my favorite actors out there.
Thanks, buddy.
I mean, for sure.
It is nice of you to say.
He is on the show Kingdom, and he kills it. And American Gods, is that something you're going to be on next?
Yeah, I actually just saw the trailer for it. Did you see the trailer?
I haven't.
It's really impressive.
How are you on two TV shows?
Well, you know, you can, for the most part, I mean, you're kind that of contractually,
good.
What?
You're that good.
Oh, that's I thought it was like a contractual issue. I thought you were like an attorney for the studio.
No, I don't care about that.
I was going to break down how many episodes one can do at certain times.
Some people can't even get on one TV show, and you're on two.
Well, you know, I've had, like life, mm-hmm. like comedy, so many other things, there's ups and downs, so.
But I could see you fitting in a lot of different genres, though.
I you know, as an actor, you think you can do anything. You know, there's no role I couldn't do. It could be an African American female. Just send me in, you know. Let me get a read. So, I've been very lucky to work. I've had periods where I haven't been able to get paid for my work, and that's been tough. But I'm in a wonderful place right now where I feel like so much of the sweat equity that I've put in, and so much of the sacrifices that I've made, the people around me have made, are starting to, you know, all that's starting to come to fruition.
Coming back.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Well, so our podcast is a little different. Theo and I compete to win, and you serve as the judge and also
Great.
As the interview subject. And it's divided into three rounds.
Okay.
First round, we each tell a little story. You pick one
Great.
That you like better. Second round, as we take turn interviewing you, asking questions. Third round is a mini competition based on our guests. Okay. So,
and you know I'm on a fighting show, so I'm very familiar with rounds and bells.
Oh,
and
yes,
perfect.
Exactly.
Good.
Completely. So why don't we start off round one, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go?
Yeah.
All right. Since you are on a fighting show, and I've seen this, and this MMA stuff looks very painful to me. I've never been in a fist fight or anything, but mm-hmm. it just looks like it would kill. I will talk about the most pain I've ever had in my entire life. And that was from a kidney stone, which was so bad. So this is what happened, okay? So I was out to dinner, and you just get it. It just like felt it, and I collapsed at dinner. And then I was like, my friend was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, yeah. I drove myself home. I remember getting home and just like kind of laying on the floor and being like, this is the worst pain. I drove myself to the hospital because it goes back to the lonely thing. I don't really have that many people in my life. Drove myself to the hospital, and they said, "You've got kidney stones, right?"
Wow.
I'm like, "Well, what do I do?" And they said, "You have to let them pass," right? So cut to a month later. The kidney stones did not pass, so they said, we're going to have to go in and surgically remove them.
I thought they blasted them with lasers.
These were right behind like a bone where they couldn't do that.
Wow.
So it was literally like inaccessible that way, so they had to go.
I mean, listeners understand that like you were literally, your urethra is going to be filled with like a very pointed, jaggy, straight-sized
So that's what they
stone.
Did. They and they So they go in through
catheter.
The catheter style.
Through the Peter.
Yeah, through the... Well, I was out of this. You know, I was
knocked
out.
Are you asleep?
Yeah, of course.
You gotta stay up for that, dude.
But the best part was the night before, I had, because this is me, I had an In Case I Die party, which was just me being... And I guilted people to come to my... It was like James Franco came. I remember, I did it. You might have been there. You were there. Marie's Italian Kitchen.
Oh, yeah, was it that thing? Is that what that was for?
That Matt was going
to
die.
Dude, I gave $30 to something. They were passing around a hat.
It was my In Case I Die party. I totally guilted people into it. That's just me. Anyway, so they went in. I get knocked out. I wake up, and my mom's in the hospital, and they say, we couldn't find him.
No!
No joke. We couldn't find him. They must have passed on their own. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I feel like I would know if the kidney stones passed.
You could literally hear it.
This is when I started to lose a lot of faith in doctors.
You hear, apparently, you can literally hear a kidney stone. When you pee it out, if you're like in a urinal or something, you can literally hear
a click.
Yes.
Wow.
This is when I started losing a lot of faith in doctors and realized that doctors just give opinions.
Yeah.
You know, basically. And
they're chart months.
A lot of their opinions are as good as yours or mine. I was like, fuck, what? I just went through this whole thing. And so the pain was still there after I left. And then 2 weeks later, it passed on its own. Two kidney stones.
How big were they?
They were...
Could you see?
Like BB... one was like a BB gun style.
So like I for sure for sure, I would have taken them and like made like a piece of jewelry out of
them. Oh, yeah.
Like a ring set or something. Like, yeah. Yo, you think you're tough, bro? And I'd put out my knuckles like that, and you'd see my two kidney stones right there put into a thing of gold or silver or platinum.
It was the most pain I've ever been in my life. Have you ever had a kidney stone issues?
Dude. I haven't. Either. But you should have made earrings out of them for your husband or something one day. You know?
You could have given that as like an engagement.
Yeah, an engagement gift.
Guys,
or make a
earrings.
Wristlet. Make a wristlet for the baby you're going to adopt.
Or a cock ring. How about that? Just put it around the cock ring.
Oh, boy.
Well, we're there. What's the most pain you've ever been in your life, both of you?
Okay, well, how about this? I'll match my story.
Okay.
My story will be the most pain that I've ever been in.
Okay.
All right, let me tell you this story. So.
And this doesn't include bombing on stage, right?
No. Ha ha. So, that hurt a little.
A little.
The most pain could have been just now. Does just now count? The most pain I've ever been in. So. I'm 11 years old, right? And I'm on this baseball team. And we had a coach, actually, dude. I remember.
Uh-oh. Where's this story going?
Well, nowadays, in hindsight, no, I didn't get molested.
Okay.
I think
not
maybe,
that kind of pain.
Maybe the right fielder did. But I didn't. I wasn't really that cute as a kid. But we had this coach, dude, I'm not even joking, who could he'd masturbate and catch it in his hair, catch the semen in his hair.
What are you talking about, Theo?
Yeah.
Actually, this is great because I didn't really know what I was getting into with this show. I mean, oh, come down to the basement. It looks like somebody's murdering me. Okay, there's all these stories of like backroom mafia abortions that I've been told by your staff.
Yes.
It happened right
now
here.
Now we're getting into kidney stones.
Kidney
and
stones.
Semen
stones.
It's
wait,
like aggressive. Yeah,
I'm
aggressive.
Sorry.
Like, we haven't.
I'm sorry.
Welcome to the party.
3 minutes.
How do you know at that age that that's what your
I was
coach
11,
can do.
Dude.
And what did he show you?
Yeah. This guy would jerk off and catch it in his hair.
Was he like 15 or 16, or is this like an older gentleman?
This guy was probably about, I bet he was probably about 17. Right. So he was still legally a kid.
Did you say anything? Did you tell people that this was happening?
Actually, I never even ID'd him. I mean, I just watched the trick, you know? I just watched.
Okay,
we were all enthralled by it. Nobody was like, this guy's a pedophile.
So, and he would catch it in his hat.
Everybody's like, watch what Eric can do, you know? That's all that he was.
I mean, I guess it's a skill.
I mean, it's only, he wasn't touching us and doing it, you know?
So I imagine the pain was
yeah, where's the pain? Where's the pain coming?
It's just, anyway, I was on this baseball team. I just remembered that. I forgot about
that's
that.
That's a side bit to the pain?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So the pain was,
yeah.
I'm rounding first base. I'd finally gotten a hit somehow, dude. I never got a hit. The first time I ever got up to bat, actually, the kid, Eric, actually, who did the trick, threw a ball. He was pitching, and it hit me. And the first time I'd ever even gotten up to bat with a baseball bat, and it hit me right in the side. So from then on, I was so scared of, like, baseball. But I was on the team anyway. And that guy, Eric, his buddy used to do poops in his yard and make me bury him. He was like an older kid. He'd make me bury him for him in his own front yard.
Where are you from again?
Louisiana.
Poops?
He would do poops in
do
New York.
Poops. Yeah.
He would do them.
Yeah.
And I was sort of the burial guy. But anyway, I guess I was like a undertaker.
A funeral
for dung. I was a dung undertaker at a young age.
So
anyway,
the pain was from?
No, so the pain was from, I had appendicitis, but I didn't know, right?
Oh.
So I'm rounding for the first hit I ever get, dude. It's like game 11. There's only 12 games. I get a hit, dude. I'm rounding first base, and I started just feeling bad, dude. It just hurt, and I'm like, what is this? And then I get second base, and it's hurting. And on the way to third, I fall down in the dirt, right? And the coach is furiously yelling at me, like, get out, get to third, keep running. Well, and I'm just laying on the ground, dude. I'm literally trying to, like, freestyle swim stroke to third base. Like, I cannot
while this other guy's jacking off into his hat.
I mean, it's so much pain.
That's awful.
Dude.
I hear appendicitis. This is awful.
So the coach comes over and grabs me and is dragging me to third base, dude. And then him and the coach is fat. He gets out of breath at third base. It's not even that far. And he's the asshole telling me to run. Then another kid and him drag me down to home plate. Right?
Wow.
So
well, you scored.
Oh, I scored.
Congratulations.
Laying there in sheer, just like insane pain, that had taken me to the hospital and had to have my appendix taken out. I had to stay in the hospital for about a week. It was pretty bad.
What's the most pain you've been in?
Obviously, you know, I've been broken up with. There's some great deal of heart.
Oh, yes, completely.
In that.
Do you get beat up doing your show?
Yeah, we get all of us get up. We get beaten up pretty badly. I took a in the first season, I have this fight, and my character takes a fight against a guy who's up quite a few pounds on him. So it's a very brave, courageous thing that my character does. And I fight this guy named Jay Thoroughbred Haran. You can Google him. Mm. Great image. He's got to be 225, 230 pounds. Got a shaved head. Just a beast of a fighter, and he's a real fighter. All of the fighters on our show are real fighters.
Wow.
And we just, there was a bit of miscommunication between the two of us. We'd done a lot of choreography and rehearsals for this thing, but I kind of came up a little bit and his a little too far, and his elbow came down a little too low, and he's basically mounted me, which is the technical term.
And I've been there.
Oh yeah,
I've been trying to do that to you, Jonathan, for many years.
And you know what? We'll keep that struggle going. And he's literally over me. My head's on the mat, and he just cranks his elbow right into my eye, pop the whole thing right open.
We put
super glue. We super glue. That's actually
what you continued super glue. The shooting.
You know, yeah, and it wasn't one of these like heroic sort of things. I worked so hard on this choreography, and you really want it to look like it's you doing it.
That's
such an important part of our show. So I didn't know this, but super glue was invented to heal wounds, to basically suture temporarily wounds. So that's why they invented super glue. So I super glued up my eye, and then I went to the hospital that night. Wow. But I did. My wife hates when I tell this story because I've told it so many times and it sounds like so ridiculous. But really, one of the most painful experiences of my life was I woke up. This was last year. I woke up like, I don't know, 4 or 5 in the morning, and I went to go hit the head. And I had a big thing of water, like exactly this size. It's 32 ounces, right? It's a mason jar, a big mason jar. And I just downed the water, and somehow it my organs seized up inside. And I dropped down to the floor of the bathroom. This is just from drinking water, right? Really early. And I swear to God, I thought I was going to die. I thought this is how, like, it was like a seizing of, like, everything inside of me.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because I swear to God, my wife's like, you thought you were going to die from drinking a glass of water.
The moral here is don't drink water,
you
kids.
Know, when something like that happens and you really do think, like, this could possibly be it, you can't, it's wild to think about what goes through your head.
Right.
And all I was like, does she know we're like, I have another bank account that's, you know, over here that, you know, that we do owe like $25 on last year's taxes, you know, that
right.
The car has another payment due. It's got to go to that. You know, it's crazy. It wasn't like, I wasn't thinking about all this beautiful life and this beautiful, I was like, yeah, all these loose ends, these like financial loose ends. And yeah. I am like buck naked on the bathroom floor at 4 in the morning, with my organs like falling out of my chest.
What was it?
I went on, you know, the problem is you go online and you search something.
It's everything.
Like, and it's got everything.
Yeah. Wow.
It's never happened again. My wife's going to die when she hears what I told
her. Oh, dude.
Wow.
Do I get to judge now?
Yeah, and that note, you have to pick a winner.
Dude,
yeah.
Matt Weiss. For sure. Because here's why I know. Because we actually, do you know our buddy Mike?
So there's another person involved in
this.
Well,
yeah,
whatever.
Because our other buddy was on creatine for a long time as a wrestler,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't drink enough water, and he got kidney stones. So I've heard how painful these things are. Yep. I don't have a lot of friends who've had appendicitis. So just by, you know.
Appendicitis.
I don't have appendicitis. I only have appendicitis.
You're giving some side eye right now, actually.
So yeah, for the first round, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, I'll take it.
Yep.
I just feel manipulated. Well.
I'm glad.
I feel like I might like push you against the ropes.
I feel like there's a super pack here.
I think so something good came out of the kidney stones.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah. You should have saved them. It's not like they just appear. Like, he built up this thing of hard material, like congealed. And
that's
hardened.
What I do.
It's a man pearl, dude. I think it's beautiful. You got to give that to a woman.
That's how I roll.
You got to give that to a loved one.
All right. Moving on to round two, which is our interview segment. Well, we'll take turns asking you questions. since I won that round, I'm going to go first, and I'm just going to get it.
Throw up.
I'm just going to get the get it out of the way, because this is something that's been weighing on my mind a lot lately. So, you've seen Nick Jonas naked?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it.
Wow.
For a second.
Yeah, you've seen Nick Jonas naked. I remember you did that video too when he was like.
What was the video?
It was like he was shaving or something, and you took a video, and it was like out on social media.
Oh, for his doc, for
yeah,
his
whatever it was.
Tour, sure.
And he was shirtless, sure, and he was shaving, and
very handsome, very fit,
very
know,
handsome. So,
very talented.
I mean, since I don't think I'm ever gonna see it, can you just describe it to me?
Well, I hate that you're putting a ceiling on your on your future like that.
Oh, yeah. Do you think it's going to happen?
I don't think Theo would ever do that.
Oh. I feel like I could see Nick Jonas naked.
That's right. See that? He thinks he's good.
Okay. There's hope.
Yeah, there's always hope, man.
So is he nice?
Oh, dude. I mean, he's everything that one could think and dream of and so much more.
Jesus Christ.
He really is. Yeah, he's a statue. Yeah, I mean, he's built out of Carrera marble right there in the same sort of aesthetic that one would find in terms of dimensions and everything else in ancient Greek.
Nick Jonas.
I'd rather watch a man catch semen in his hair, dude, over a third base.
I'd like to combine the two. So that being said, how hard would it be to get Nick Jonas on my show?
I'd say it's tough. I mean, look what a low bar I'm... by just having me on the show, potentially lost 3 or 4 guests.
Shut up. Oh, Nick Jonas, he's everything to me.
Okay.
I bought his guitar.
Yeah, I don't, that sounds...
When I was drunk.
At a charity auction
for $200.
You're still paying it off.
Yeah, well, every gay dude in Hollywood is telling that story, okay? They probably sold a million of his guitars.
I sold it on eBay.
Was that the guy who's the ex that I dated? Was it the same Jonas?
No, that was Joe Jonas's ex.
Joe Jonas's ex.
All right, so
all right,
I got it out of
question.
The way, my Nick Jonas. You've been like, you've seen it. You've seen
Yeah,
Nick
he
Jonas
saw it.
Naked.
Leave him alone.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but it's just you being a dang pervert.
Okay.
Dang pervert.
So let me ask you this. So, Jonathan, who do you get accused of being a lot? Because we had another great actor in here. It was, who was in A Few Good Men?
Kevin Pollak.
Kevin Pollak. And he gets accused of being people all the time.
Yeah, because a lot of people, like, especially someone like you who's grown up in this business
and they know
your face. Who, I guess you're asking, who does he get recognized for? Because
you remind me of, and just for some reason in my head, I don't know if it's you have a youthful look, but you're also an adult man. and so, like, there's this sort of like...
Antonio Sabato Jr.?
It's not going to be it, I don't think.
Oh, no, you don't want to be look like
him. He's not a bad guy.
He's horrible.
His speech was pretty aggressive.
That's horrible.
Intense, I just wanted to bring up Antonio Sabato Jr.
He's the worst. I bet you have like a bet that you somehow going to get Antonio Sabato
his name into
like,
interview.
I thought you were in Sandlot. I was like, what character in Sandlot was he? That's what crossed my mind.
That's reasonable.
Well, you know, I did a show called The Black Donnellys with a wonderful actor named Tom Guiry.
Mm-hmm.
Also cute. Played the star of The Sandlot.
And
he's great.
Yeah,
he played my older brother on that show.
But I could see because you grew up in that era. The movies that you were in were kind of like sleepers and movies of that era. So I can see where that kind of
mind frame I knew him because I remember going. This is within the past year. I went up to him somewhere. I don't remember where it was, and I thought I knew him. I just didn't know where it was from.
You thought he was the guy from Sandlot?
I just couldn't. I didn't know what it was.
Do you get that a lot?
No, but I haven't gotten that. But who was the actor that you thought I was?
I thought you were the guy from Sandlot. But in my head, not specifically him, I thought you were in Sandlot. I was like, he was one of the actors in Sandlot.
So somebody this was like last year or the year before I'm at the bank. And I'm getting ready to cash or probably see how much debt I'm in. And as I'm standing in line there, this guy comes up and he's like, I can't remember what the name is. It's a guy from Game of Thrones. And so he just comes up and starts talking to me. I like, honestly, I don't want to make this guy feel like a jerk. I don't know this guy. I don't think I do, but maybe we have a mutual friend. Maybe he had facial hair that he no longer has or something. So I'm trying to just be polite and kind of chit chat with him. And he's asking me all these questions about, are you still friends with Bob? Oh, yeah. And he's getting me in the corner. I'm already in. So I just don't want to make the guy feel like a jerk.
Yeah.
And he's saying, well, yeah, I just saw you. I saw you at the premiere of the Game of Thrones. And so nice. You know, I know your business manager, blah, blah. And it's like a good 3-minute conversation. Now I'm just like, please let me get to the teller. So, just find an excuse.
Please let me have debt.
So he's like, well, I'll just call Tommy and we'll get together. I'm like, yeah, call Tommy and we'll get together. So I get back home, I tell my wife, I'm like, oh, it was so awkward because I just didn't know what to say at a certain point, and so on and so forth. And so she's like, oh, well, don't worry about it. You made him feel, at least he doesn't feel like a total jerk. So then, like, 2 weeks later, I'm in the supermarket, and the same dude comes up. Yeah. And now I know this guy, but I know that he thinks I'm somebody else. So you're in this – it's like a Larry David moment where you're not sure. So I was like, all right, Tuck, you just got to play along, man. I was like, hey, you called Jerry? Are we doing this thing or what? You look a lot better than when I saw you at the premiere. So it was –
That's hysterical.
That happens from time to time.
Okay.
Or, you have a conversation with somebody, and you think they really do love your work, and they're like, man, I love you. And and then they say something,
completely different
that you've never been in, and then you're like, oh,
like Sandlot,
like the Sandlot, and then you're like, you know what, let's just not correct them right now, let's just walk away, it was a positive experience.
I'm sure, it's a fine line there, like when you step in and when you don't to correct.
And they may have loved your work, they just can't also remember the name of the project.
That I totally understand,
right?
And then you do, but then you're in this position of like, do you say, well, let me go through 23 years of work and right, and like we'll just figure it out, or should I just be like or should I like just make assumptions about you and be like, well, you're a 42-year-old female, you are, you know, we're in Tennessee and you've got three kids, so let me, is it, you know, I don't know, is it justified right? Maybe, I don't know. But, you know, but then they're like, no, it's
like a game.
But that you end up putting yourself.
Oh, that's the worst. And they're like, no. And then they discredit that, like, no, like, nah, that's not it.
Right. So, but I'd rather them do that and figure it out. But then, or the other option is you go, hey, man, my name is Jonathan Tucker. You know, look online, maybe you can figure out what it is. But then they're like, I don't need, like, what are you telling? You're telling me your name to, like, look you up, man? I'm not looking you up.
There's no win.
Or you get people who are like, I know you. And then you kind of play this dancing game of like, well, where are you from?
Yeah, right. Go to school together.
And I know I don't know this person. And I for sure know that, but, you know, that they know I'm, they've seen me somewhere, you know, 3 a.m. on Law & Order SVU from 1972 or something. But then you say, well, after you played the game, you know, where they might know you from, then you say, well, I'm an actor. And
right.
Then they go, no, that's not it.
Yeah.
You know? And you go, I just like exposed my vulnerability here. And now you're telling me it's definitely not it.
They're like, nah, we used to live near each other. You're like, get the fuck out of my face.
Dude, we have never met. Yeah. We have never
met. Get out of my face.
So, I want to ask,
a lot of avenues.
Do you think that Kingdom gets no love from the Emmy? What do you think? What do you think?
You know, I mean, it's pretty simple. No, you know, we don't. We're on only DirecTV and AT&T. The show is called Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really.
I don't watch, but I'm familiar with it.
It's a really. Thank you. Thanks for the support.
But I will check it out now.
Yeah, you're checking it out now.
It's good.
It's Nick Jonas, you know, it's a really gritty family drama. It's set around an MMA fight gym. We're really lucky, man. We have like the top notch. Real UFC MMA coaches and fighters.
You'd like it, though. You'd like it.
Really?
It's the acting's terrific.
The acting's terrific, which is so what?
We've got great writing. It's fabulous. But the fact is, we're only on DirecTV or AT&T. So if you don't have AT&T UVerse or you don't have DirecTV, you can't find it on iTunes or Netflix. You can't buy it somewhere. You can't. I don't even know if you can pirate it. We're probably so low on the totem pole that you can't even
unpiratable.
Find it.
I don't know.
It's unpiratable. But that the issue.
You
is,
are so like you deserve the Emmy nomination.
So nice, Matt. And I hope at some point that I'm able to find an opportunity to stand on the
not
stage.
Not that the problem matters.
The problem is, dude, you're up against a show that has 7 or 8 million people watch, right?
Right.
And there's 18,000 Emmy voters, and we're on a show that maybe, you know, who knows how many of it's such a small percentage. So it's just a numbers game. Which is all right, then.
And do you hope it then, like, so with a show having success, a show being a successful show, as far as like a good show, entertaining, do you hope that just for our viewers, like our listeners, that your show gets sold to a bigger...
It'll never get sold because it's original content for the network. So
okay.
Like, it is what it is. They are only making it for AT&T and DirecTV.
That's it.
And that's it.
Does it frustrate you? Like that it's limited in far as... You know, what are you going
to
do?
What am I going to do? Like, I'm an actor.
Yeah, you happy to be
this
working.
Is what I do. And I've been you doing go it for do. A long time. And I am so lucky to be on a show that... You know, the thing about it is that you've got these executives at DirecTV... and you've got our showrunner, this incredible guy named Byron Belasco, and these guys are so comfortable in their own talent that they don't have this fear that they have to control everything, right? So they create the show, they create the characters, and then they kind of turn over every department to the people who are responsible for it.
Wow!
And so that gives you this wild sense of freedom that you can't really find in a lot of other environments.
Not at all.
And when you're able to then take some of that and apply it in other places, like Justified, for instance, or American Gods that you talked about before, it all of a sudden some really magical things can start to happen. And ultimately, people really just want you to be so prepared that you can come to a set and be completely open and free to the environment and to really play and to have your gloves off, to not have a safety net. And that's exciting for me as an actor to play with, right? But it's really exciting, too, for other people who have found themselves in a sort of rut in television, which is very, very much, for the most part, fear-based.
Mm-hmm.
From top to bottom.
Oh, yeah. Agreed, 100%. Yeah,
so wait, then the real question is, do you get free DirecTV?
Nope. I do not get free DirecTV.
Really?
I don't. But I will say, so I do pay for DirecTV.
Oh.
And this is not.
I do too.
I'm being.
I do too.
Flat out. Like, and you guys know, this is not a. I'm not going to plug DirecTV.
No, I know.
But it is the best service I've ever had.
Actually, I'm having an issue. Can you? Can
yes,
I? Can I?
By the way, are you really having an issue?
I am.
What is your issue?
They're just. They're.
I've never been treated.
Not with the. Customer service, the VOD, like, because I buy movies on right. the thing a lot, and a lot of times it'll say, like, not available, you know?
Well, that, okay.
That could be an internet issue.
Do you watch football?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay, so you do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their NFL ticket has changed my life.
Yeah.
I can, like, go to brunch with my wife and, like, all of her friends on a Sunday and sit there and not even, think about football because I know that all of the teams that are on my special list are all being recorded.
Right.
I have that little button, the fast forward button, which is basically built for plays. So
right.
I go from play to play to play. I can watch, like, all the games in a Sunday in under 2 hours. And I think the remote control with the RF,
yeah.
So you don't have to point it anywhere. You can point it anywhere you want.
Mm-hmm.
I just love.
Oh yeah, that's beautiful.
I use it for like RuPaul's Drag Race. Sometimes you can fast forward and to see like who does better in the thing. That's my equivalent to the football.
I wish it was a real drag race or a bunch of like transvestites like run around in roadsters.
That'd be great, dude. Oh, you run around what?
In roadsters, like in real cars, you know, Formula One.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Lonnie's passing me.
This is
this is my question.
Sorry.
In Hollywood,
and by the way, that's not how we all talk.
I get to judge more of you guys. I thought there's more judging going on. But it's just a one off.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So you're married now, mm-hmm. right? Is your first marriage?
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you find like as an actor, I feel like I hear people in Hollywood talk about like they worry about getting married because they don't know like where like their star is going to be like in the fame chain in Hollywood and like I have friends who are like I'm staying single because you know in 5 years I'm going to be a superstar and then I'll be able to like marry you know whoever the Jennifer Aniston is then but you know
Angela
what I'm talking
Lansbury.
About like yeah or some but this is a syndrome for people
it's never occurred to me. I've never heard that before. But first of all, when you meet the right person, and like my wife is
very beautiful. I've just seen pictures of her.
She's
very beautiful.
She is the most wonderful, extraordinary people in the world. She's just an extraordinary human being. And when you find the right one, it's just you know. You might not know immediately. That's like something that was very
well. Women will trick you. Yeah, they're tricky.
No, I mean to say, like you know, you can be dating someone for a year and be like, they're great, and you're like, I don't know if it's the right thing or not. And then there'll be one moment where it all kind of coalesces, and you go, this is the person I need to spend my life with. However, or that being said, like I've really found that being that expression, you know, being financially conservative so you can be artistically reckless, it applies in so many other aspects of your life. Like if you can get your life settled. So that you're not, you know, so yeah, for sure, you're not in debt, right? But also that, you know, you have a partner in your life that supports you, that's going to be there when you're down, when you're up. When you can settle your personal life, then all of a sudden you can take these extraordinary risks professionally. And that's, you know, I'm much more excited about being a good actor than I am about having, you know, the sexiest, hottest thing of the moment. You know, I mean, the fact is, like, when you start looking back in the business, like, you can't even catch those stars. What is it going to first? It's Natalie Portman, then it's Scarlett Johansson, then it's Alicia Vikander, then it's Jennifer. I mean,
right.
Who the hell? What are you talking about? So you have to find somebody who's a magical. My wife is magical.
Is it true that her father won a Pulitzer?
Yeah, he did. It's actually a great story. The guy, he's an amazing human being, and he could be such a supercilious jerk, I imagine, and with having you know won this prestigious award, and he's
Pulitzer.
Not at all in history.
Pulitzer Prize,
yeah,
for what?
History.
Yeah. Okay,
and it was his first book.
Because Pulitzer's for authors.
It's for it's a number of different things. It's
different
all
things, yeah.
It's
okay.
All for writing. But he was in a pretty basic job in finance for his whole career. Nothing, no big ups and downs in that field that he was doing. And he retired at 50, not with a fortune by any means, but enough money to live a lifestyle that he had become accustomed to. And he said, I want to write a book. And his daughters and his wife were like, oh, daddy's going to write a book. And he went and took a night class at like NYU and he wrote a proposal and he sent the proposal off and he got a little bite and, oh, look, dad's going to publish a book now. And he started writing this book in 2003 or 4 about the Great Depression and the central bankers of the world that caused it and responded to it. And he finished the book and it came out essentially in the fall of 2008, right during the economic crisis
in
America and the world. And of course, you know, it's the book that's photographed on Obama's desk. It's the book that Geithner and Bernanke and Paulson are reading and recommending. It's like, you know, if you guys were doing the Sunday talk shows in D.C. and you had a senator and you said, well, the final question is, before we leave you, Senator, what book should we read to understand the situation now, to give us some context? And they said, Liaquat Ali Ahmed's The Lords of Finance. So all of a sudden, you know, it's the New York Times bestselling book. It's the Wall Street Journal book of the year on their top 10. It's Goldman Sachs book of the year, business book. And then all of a sudden he wins the Pulitzer. So, you know, for your listeners, if you have a dream,
wow, that's
don't let anyone tell you
Have
otherwise.
You seen it? Have you touched it?
The Pulitzer Prize? Well, it's not really. It's like it's a piece of paper.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, I thought maybe
and
there was
actually,
a
medal. And actually, you don't ever even know you're nominated for the award.
Really?
So I thought you'd get a call and they'd say, hey, we want to let you know, Matt, you know, we're nominating you guys for a Pulitzer. Just want to just heads up,
right. Yeah.
Awesome. No. They just call you and they go, "Hey, you won the Pulitzer."
Right. Wow.
This is Larry Pulitzer, and you got it.
I'm hoping, man.
Yeah.
Right, you're not gonna win it, but you might though. And I like you. I think you really could.
What's more likely? I'm gonna see Nick Jonas naked, or I'm gonna win the Pulitzer.
That's right.
But so I guess then to follow up a little bit on the question is just, was it hard not to? Because I feel like people have these dreams in Hollywood. You never know what can happen in Hollywood. And so was it hard?
You never know what's going to happen in life. I mean, really. You just
I guess
know.
That's
what
true.
Are you gonna you know, you could lose your wife in a car accident, you know, a week before you're going to, you know, a week after you get married. You just have no idea.
Yeah.
You just have no idea. I gave this, here's how I knew I was going to marry my wife.
Mm-hmm.
It includes a big bomb on my part. So basically I gave this I gave this introduction for a friend of mine for some Young Hollywood Award. And I wrote my own script. So I go up there. It was a really long, boring award ceremony. And I gave this like totally zinger of a speech. And they're like, oh, that was so great. It was so lively. It made the whole award ceremony. We're doing a really big award ceremony right before the Oscars. We'd love to have Jonathan Ducker come and give the awards for this guy. Introduce a guy he doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. So I was kind of like a ringer introducer at this thing. I walk in. It's a serious award ceremony. Every single table is filled with year's Academy Awards.
Wow.
Every single one. The directors, the actors, the whole thing. And I'm like, wow, this is incredible, you know. Every single person who could ever give me a job for the rest, I could secure my whole life's career right now. And I had written a great speech. And I was there with my wife. She was my girlfriend at the time. We'd been dating maybe a year or two. And I didn't know if it was the right person or not for me. So I get up to give the speech. And I'm seeing all these other big famous actors before me doing introductions, and they're like, oh, the light's so bright, and they're just reading the you know, they're leaning forward, just reading the teleprompter, and they're not really giving.
They're not invested. Yeah.
So I get up there, and I start giving this speech, and I realize, like, one, the type of my speech is too small. Normally, I like to have, you know, 16 New Times Roman, you know, really strong,
yeah, right?
Double spaced. I did not give the people the speech for the
teleprompter,
and the light is so bright that I can't read the paper. And I have like two or three little jokes in there that, if you don't deliver them right, make me sound like a total jerk, like a real jerk, like being very rude to the person that I'm introducing.
Theo's been there.
So I stumble through this thing, and I just eat it, man. I just eat it in front of all these people, and it's quiet. Just me up there.
Are people eating? Can you hear any of this somewhere?
China, oh. Dude. And I'm just like, and I know, I'm not an idiot. Like, I'm like, this is terrible. Like, I've just really done a bad job, and I've embarrassed myself. I've embarrassed the guy that I'm bringing on here, and everybody who's going to be sitting there at the Academy Awards this year is sitting right here in front of me, and they know exactly who I am because I was introduced probably pretty well, you know? And I came back to the table, and my girlfriend, my wife now, she just put her hand on my leg and she was like, I love you. I was just like, well, that's it, man. Like, I don't know how, you know, I'm sure I can go lower than that. I'm sure in my life I'll embarrass myself more. But when you have somebody who can be there at that sort of a point,
yeah,
it's and who you have a great relationship with before everything else. But like, that was just that moment where I was like, I could not have felt worse about myself.
That's super romantic.
That is really kind of sweet.
We should go
man.
Back to the semen story that you were telling before.
Yeah, that happened later that night, right?
Sorry, I told that. I didn't mean to tell that, man.
Now, you grew up in this business, right?
Well, I started acting when I was 11, 10 or 11.
Yeah. So do you look back and what did growing up in this business do to you? Because you seem pretty normal and pretty, like, whatever.
It's just you get to learn that you're, you know, it's like when you, it's like fighting. It's like wrestling. You know, there's such a humility in the combat sports world because, you've always been hit in the face. You've always been pinned. You've always had to tap. You've always been put against the ropes. You've always thought you were more capable than you were because someone has proven otherwise. Mm. And some days you're lucky and some days you're unlucky. And there's just so much humility that you have to have or that you get, whether you like it or not. You know, be humble or get humbled.
Because you've had some ups and downs.
Oh, my God. Yeah, man. You know,
you said there was a time where you didn't know if you were going to work and this time
you
where...
would never think you're going to. I mean, that's like the thing that everyone always says, and it is totally true. You never think you're going to work again. You go back and look at work that you did a year ago, and you're like, oh, my God, that was so good. I can't do that anymore. Like, what was I doing then that I'm not doing now? And it's just so scary. But ultimately, like, you have to love what you're doing. Or you got to get out because there's no way to get through this crucible of this town and this business unless you can't do anything but this.
Would you recommend this business to anyone else?
No. Yeah. Of course not.
I agree with you.
Of course not, dude. Stay home.
Has being Jewish helped you in this business?
Yeah, of course. The Jews have been wandering for 2,000 years, man.
Does a kid with an acting dream from rural Ohio or rural anywhere coming out to Los Angeles still have a chance in this industry today as opposed to maybe 15 years ago? Because it seems these days it's so formulaic at this point. Like, there's just so much history been done and everything. So many things seem like a more pre-planned now. What do you think? A lot of people are grandfathered in now,
Dude, and, I mean, look, if your work is magical, you just can't. Like, no one can deny magical work. You just can't. You know, you're sitting in a room and all you want is for some actor to come in and just be incredible. So, and the hardest part of being incredible is like just being complete, is honoring who you are. The hardest part is like thinking that you have to offer something more than what you're capable of, more than who you are. If you just truly reflect who you are, everybody's interesting to watch, you right. know?
So, dude,
you just gotta work hard, man.
You are in ridiculous shape, obviously, for Kingdom and whatnot. I know you go through
ups
and downs, dude. It sounds miserable sometimes. What does that like entail for you to be tip top?
It's exactly what everyone knows. And like, it's not nothing new. You just gotta, when you work out, you do it a few, you know, at least 4 or 5 times a week, and you give it everything you have for an hour.
But you
are
like
perfectly
jacked, yeah. Like beyond it's, like it, my
but,
normal.
But that's
man,
to show you.
Him
I see the shot in my hand.
I know
it.
He looks like he's in good shape.
He is in good shape.
And let him. Jesus.
You haven't seen the show, bro.
And my part about the guy shirtless. Catching the semen is there isn't even the gayest part about this whole show.
So do you get in like fights? Could you fight?
I have no interest in fighting anymore.
Can you fight better now than you could before?
I can fight better. That's you know what? That's the best question that anybody's asked me in that respect. Yes. Yeah, I can fight better now. Do I want to fight anybody? Absolutely not.
No.
Would you fight an MMA fighter? Or sport? Just
never.
For no?
Never. And, you know, the more you fight, the more you realize, and the more you train, the more you realize what you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, so you see somebody like, you know, who's a 100-pound female and she is breaking the arm of, a 250-pound weightlifter. You just don't know what other people know.
You could beat me up.
I have a pretty good feeling that you've got some moves you're not.
Oh, I do. I go dirty. I bite testicles.
What?
This is fighting, not grinder meetups.
I bite, you know, you bite the Achilles heel. That goes right for it. If you bite someone's Achilles heel, they're out.
Who's Achilles? Probably some dude you met. I'm sure on Friendster.
That's what Nick Jonas's body looks like.
I'm sure some guy you met on
No, that's Adonis. Mm.
All right, I think that brings us to the end of round two.
Yes, so you got to pick a winner of that round.
Oh, who has better questions?
Yeah,
who's a better interviewer?
Shoot, that's tough, guys.
It is tough.
I'll remind you that I brought up Nick Jonas. I brought up the Jew part.
The Jew part was great because Jews have been an oppressed people for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, but not recently in Westwood.
I will say that Theo did ask the question you have never been asked in that or in
yeah,
that
regard.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
That was a really good question.
Yeah, I feel like he hasn't even seen the show. So it's like, how? You know, so you'd think a little more research would have been done.
You'd think.
I agree.
It's tough. It's tough.
I agree with that.
I say you won the first round with the kidney stones, but I've got to say, I thought Theo, with having not seen the show, Was able to really get into some of the meat of the situation.
Why should that work against me? I've seen the show. Fine, I'm not watching the show anymore.
Get into the meat. You heard him, bad boy, huh?
He's got tremendous.
Do you have MMA faves, by the way? Do you watch?
I've become a diehard MMA fan. Oh, really?
Who do you love?
I don't even know where to start. The guys, right now, I love this fighter named TJ Dillashaw, who was on the UFC 200 card. He's just a fabulous fighter, man. He's just super dynamic. This young guy named Cody No Love, who's coming up, I like a lot. Cowboy Cerrone, who's fighting.
Do you like Uriah Faber?
I love Faber. I was at his last fight here in LA. He was terrific. But he's not, I think his coaching, his strongest point right now is going to be coaching. And he coaches Dillashaw.
Yeah, but he's also Joseph very Benavides. Pretty. He's very cute.
Uriah, you like?
I love Uriah. That butt chin is
I think you have a significantly better chance of seeing my friend Nick naked than you do of having any relationship with Uriah Faber.
Really?
There you go.
Uriah Faber is very masculine.
Yeah. Well, that's what I like. Mm.
Yeah, I don't think it sounds safe for you, man.
So in other words, is it a shot with Nick Jonas? That's what I took out of that.
We'll take that.
All right, congratulations, Theo.
All right, we're tied up. We need a round three.
A round three.
Let's break this thing.
This is we're going purely physical on this one.
We've never done that.
We've never done this. We've done having to do voices or
what
sing songs.
What episode are we on right now?
57-ish?
I feel so special that I'm on 57.
I've been asking you for a while.
What about 50?
Actually, it's gotten a lot better. Dude, you were up with some big stars today. Today we had some good stars on the that
I've
came in front of you today.
I've been trying to get you in for
yourself.
A while.
Right. Yeah,
I apologize.
But we've never done anything physical.
Okay, so what are we gonna do?
We're just gonna do an old-fashioned arm wrestling match.
Fantastic.
I want you to put your bets on someone first. I want
who's
you to
gonna win.
Who's gonna win?
But which arm are we gonna use?
Oh, okay.
Is either one of you a southpaw?
No.
So
someone could be lying.
So maybe we go left.
No, that's no fun.
My money's on Weiss.
Maybe we go left.
Ooh.
I could see Matt possibly winning. God, I need to get in the gym.
No, it's not aesthetic. There's just a certain spirit I'm sensing right now. I feel like he's unhappy. he's grumpy.
Yeah, that's true.
He hasn't eaten for a while.
That's very true. You would beat me, though.
I don't know if that's true either.
You would beat both of us. Probably. One of your arms looks like it's in its third trimester.
I don't think aesthetics is really... And this is, again, one of those things you learn in MMA. Do not judge a book by its cover.
Really?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, there's a whole... there's memes of these meatheads in the gym who are, who are lifting extraordinary amounts of weight, who would just get their asses kicked.
Yeah,
by somebody who just rolls jiu-jitsu every day.
By somebody who can just catch
all right, then you got the winner.
All right, so what do you have some ground rules on this thing?
No, you lay them. You're the one who knows.
So are you going to do it over this table right here?
Yeah.
I think
let's
should.
Let's do it.
And you guys are going to keep your shirts on?
So the fans can hear it.
That's aggressive. Just saying.
I think we
should. Do we have to?
If we don't keep our shirts on, I don't think it's arm wrestling anymore.
Can I get a shot of this?
I think it's one of Matt's fantasies.
I will say this. I'm seeing some strong biceps on Theo. And Matt, this is no joke. I mean, the sun definitely is not your friend. You are half tan on one side and very pale on the other, which I appreciate being half Irish and Jewish. We've got a strong low position on both the gentlemen. If we can remove your fists right here, pull them back. Now on three. One.
Here we go.
Two. Three. All right, guys. It is a straw. This table is moving. It is dead equal right now. There's breathing. Theo is breathing. They're shaking on Matt Weiss. It's going Theo. Theo's pulling Weiss. But Weiss might pull back. I see a lot of bicep. Theo's looking to use some leverage right now, pulling that arm left. We have the elbows off the table on Matt. Let's keep that down. Matt is straining, but he is holding strong. There's a lot of leverage going. I think you need to lean a little further over, Matt. There you go. Get that leverage with your legs. Use the body. These guys are still going, and we are probably 22 seconds into this. Yeah. I am not liking what I saw.
Oh,
Theo,
my God.
Coming in,
dude,
with the win. Nailed that down.
Unbelievably tough,
Matt. Matt, you did a fabulous job.
Oh, my God.
And also, there's a lot of leverage being used, Theo. You really came in with some strong body position. Yeah.
I feel bad. I wasn't trying to cheat.
It didn't feel like a cheat. It really did not.
Wow.
It
how did. Can you get out of breath from arm wrestling?
Well, dude, I honestly didn't want to lose to a young gay man. That was making me nervous. And it's nothing against gay men. I just didn't want to do it.
He's from Louisiana. And
so are you saying it was close to, if I had stayed in a little longer?
Oh, it was getting pretty close, bro.
Wow.
I am warped.
For episode 58, you guys are going to be sore.
I know, right?
Wow, man.
That was very
no jerking off tonight. Oh, wait, what?
Well, look,
Good match.
That was a great match, man.
You okay?
Yeah, it was the best arm wrestling.
You need some Bengay?
Now I'm ready for the. Now I'm ready. See, I needed to have one. You know, I needed the warm up for you guys to both lose.
So now you take Theo on.
I couldn't go against one of those things. We need a.
Those look like from the guard the tree thing from Guardians of the Galaxy.
I love that you're saying that. I mean, these don't.
What have you been eating? Other biceps?
I love this radio.
Anyway, so I guess that means you win, Theo. Congratulations.
Look, I mean, I felt like it was a great competition. Thanks for competing.
It was.
But I think even better was, I think, some insight into, personally, it was some good insight for me just to, you know, stay focused on your career, stay focused on your craft.
And
you know, try
I
not
have...
to plan ahead and let the other stuff worry about itself.
I'm glad you took some. I took from it. There is a minute chance that I could see Nick Jonas naked. It'll probably be when he does like a movie, when he gets naked. It's not going to be in person. But
I just love that it's whether you can make out with Uriah Faber, UFC legend, the California kid himself from Team Alpha Male, or see Nick Jonas naked.
You think?
I'm saying it's a big stretch for both.
Oh, man. So let me ask you, American Gods, when is that?
That'll be out in January of 2017.
So you're filming it now?
Yeah, I've done one episode and I'll do it.
Is it cool?
Oh, it's
I mean,
so
it
fun.
Looks like I've like Gillian Anderson's in it. Crispin Glover.
Gillian Anderson?
Dude, the cast is bananas.
Crispin Glover?
He must
be interesting.
Crispin Glover, Gillian
Anderson.
All
right, so
Anderson.
January for that.
Yeah, Kingdom will start shooting again mid-November.
Oh, so we can hang out before that.
We can hang out before that.
And you can watch Kingdom now if you have DirecTV.
Yeah, Wednesday
or
nights.
AT&T UVerse.
Or AT&T UVerse. You can get it on demand right now, and then we're airing the last three episodes this Wednesday, next Wednesday.
I'm going to check some out. I'm excited.
And Jonathan Tucker for Emmy next year. That's what we're going to start. Jonathan
we can
Tucker
see it.
For Emmy.
We've had a
good track with this.
You know what? We have had some super talented people who I think are gonna see some of those Emmys in the future.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll talk to you next time on Allegedly.